of Christmases Long, Long Ago is my new book, arriving for the 2025 Christmas season. Find out what Christmas was like centuries ago. Sneak preview, it was weird, and spooky, and rowdy, kind of gross sometimes. Find it wherever books are sold, in hardcover from Lions Press, and audiobook from Recorded Books. It's Christmas as you've never seen it before, and it makes a great gift. I'm Brian Earle. This is Christmas Past. On a cold winter's night on the northern Atlantic coast in 1906, snow remained on the ground from a storm days earlier. The sea stretched out like a black sheet, its surface broken only by the ghostly lights of the ships that dotted the horizon. From here, on a desolate bluff south of Boston, the night was so still it felt like it was holding its breath. It was Christmas Eve, a perfect night for a miracle, or at least something that felt like one. The crews of the ships in the area, the U.S. Navy patrolling the coast, the United Fruit Company importing shipments of bananas from Latin America, they knew something was coming. They'd gotten word of it just days before, of an event, an experiment. At 9 o'clock, the shipboard operators received the signal. The dots and dashes sequence of Morse code spelling CQ, 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 meaning a general call to all stations within range. But tonight, it was a call to the modern age. Because after that initial Morse code signal, the wireless receivers produced not more dots and dashes, but something surprising, something entirely new. The receivers produced the sound of music, of a wax cylinder recording of an aria from an opera by Handel, and then a live performance of O Holy Night on the violin. And then more singing, but a live singer this time, not a recording. And finally, a reading from the Gospel of Luke, a verse from the Nativity story. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The sound of music and the human voice transmitted over the airwaves, and then silence. The sound faded, the static settled, and the astonished ship crews, from Boston to as far south as Norfolk, Virginia, continued their course, having witnessed the first true radio broadcast, a Christmas concert of sorts. And the man behind it all was Reginald Aubrey Fessenden. Not just that he was the one singing and playing the violin, but that he had made it all possible in the first place. Inventor, scientist, innovator in radio communication. You may not know the name, but you know his work. The work that led historians and biographers to call him the builder of tomorrows. From the transmitting station at Brant Rock, beaming from the 420-foot towers on Christmas Eve in 1906, Fessenden ushered in a new age and delivered a Christmas gift unlike anything the world had experienced before. For most of human history, the only sounds you ever heard were the ones happening around you, in real time. A voice in the next room, a bird outside the window, the wind moving through the trees. Sound was here, and then it was gone. A passing thing, an event that you either caught or missed. And then, all of that changed. In 1860, inventor Edward Leon Scott de Martinville did something unheard of, literally. He captured sound using a device called a phonautograph. Thomas Edison and his famous Edison cylinders soon followed, and then the phonograph. Sound preserved, etched into cylinders, pressed into discs. A moment once fleeting could be rewound, replayed, relived. Decades later, we went further. Sound not just recorded, but sent. Not just stored, but set free. No wires. Sound riding on waves that nobody could see, traveling at the speed of light. Signals moving through the air like ghosts, leaping across distances once thought impossible. Sounds lifted from one place and set down in another. A farmer in Nebraska hearing a symphony played in Paris. A president's voice rolling across the plains, echoing through living rooms, carried into kitchens. It reshaped the world, made it smaller, not in miles, but in moments. Radio collapsed the distance between us. The distance in space and time, yes, but in spirit, too. the world was connected in a new and immediate way. News didn't take weeks to arrive. It came as it happened. Concerts didn't belong only to the concert hall. They belonged to anyone with a receiver. We take these things for granted now, but imagine being among the first people to experience any of this. What a marvel of the modern age it was. And the story of how we got there was one of necessity, discovery, innovation, and rivalries. One of scientists, businessmen, and showmen, sometimes hard to tell which was which. In 1885, a German physicist named Heinrich Hertz, yes, as in 20,000 Hertz, made the invisible visible. He verified the existence of electromagnetic waves, including radio waves, was the first to prove that they could travel through the air. He didn't think much of it, just a curiosity, an odd trick of physics. But others saw more. By the early 90s, the discovery found its first real use as so-called wireless telegraphy. Out at sea, where messages once had to wait for landfall, signals now cut through the mist in the form of Morse code, linking ships to the shore. Lives were safer, distances shorter. 2 years later, Guglielmo Marconi pushed further, sending a signal all the way across the Atlantic, from Ireland to Canada. Fessenden would later one-up him by being the first to transmit across the Atlantic in both directions. Sending dots and dashes between ships and stations was one thing, but sending sound, the human voice, that was Reginald Fessenden's dream. As a boy, he read Scientific American-like scripture and kept a scrapbook full of Edison's inventions. As a young man, he set out for New York, knocked on Edison's door, and was turned away. At first, anyway. But he worked his way in, and then he worked his way up. His career achievements included refinements to the electric light bulb, new technologies enabling microphotography. But transmitting sound, that was the thing that spurred his greatest effort. In the first trials, voice sounds were unintelligible, but he pressed on. And in 1900, on Cobb Island, in the Potomac, off the coast of Maryland, between two 50-foot towers, 1 mile apart.
1, 2, 3, 4. Is it snowing where you are, Mr. Thiessen? If it is, telegraph back and let me know.
For the first time ever, intelligible speech transmitted by electromagnetic waves. He'd figured out a way to combine frequencies. It was called amplitude modulation, or AM, radio. A big part of this story hinges on the definition of broadcast. The experiment on Cobb Island was a direct message, transmitted from one sender to one intended recipient. A broadcast, though, is a transmission into the ether, one where anyone within range and with a receiver could hear it. And this is where the story gets a little murky. Certainly, Fessenden was the first to transmit sound by radio and was responsible for the first broadcast. Nobody questions any of that. But could any of the countless experiments done between Cobb Island in 1900 and Christmas Eve on Brant Rock in 1906 be considered a broadcast, by technical definition, if not intent? Some say maybe so. It's also curious that there are no mentions, no news reports, no entries in Fessenden's own records of the momentous Christmas Eve broadcast. It seems like the kind of thing that would have made headlines. We only know about it from accounts that came decades later, including a written account from Fessenden himself near the end of his life, where he recalled that he didn't want to be the one to do the singing and reading the Bible verse. That was supposed to be his wife and his secretary, but both of them got cold feet at the last moment. He did refer to it specifically as the program on Christmas Eve. But had his memories blurred or faded with time? Is there a bit of creation myth-making at play here? Fessenden's own account did include one or two inconsistencies, after all. Certainly, another sound transmission experiment, though not intended as a broadcast, had been successful on December 21st of that same year. Could that have been what Fessenden was referring to? But if so, would he really have played O Holy Night on the 21st? We will never have all of the answers, but the answers we do have are close enough to support the story. It's easy to forget about radio sometimes today, but at Christmas, we're reminded. Reminded of how a song through the car speakers while driving the twinkling streets can get us into the spirit. Reminded of how the sound of the voice of a DJ can feel like time spent with an old friend. Reminded of memories from Christmas past. The U.S. military still broadcast holiday programming to forces overseas. The Royal Christmas Message and the Christmas Eve concert from King's College have been broadcast in England every year for nearly a century. Christmas in Iceland begins with a radio address featuring the ringing of the bells from a cathedral in Reykjavik. American stations switch to an all-Christmas format in November. Others broadcast NORAD tracking Santa on Christmas Eve. And one Christmas Eve, in 1906, a builder of tomorrows created a night like no other. Out at sea, crews paused in their work to hear a Christmas greeting that came invisibly. It was there, and then it was gone, fading just as mysteriously as it arrived. This Christmas season is just getting started. I hope yours is off to a wonderful start. Here in the Bay Area, local station 96.5 KOIT has switched to its all-Christmas format. Their little station identification jingles are enough to get me into the Christmas spirit. So many of my Christmas memories involve a radio playing somewhere. Whether it was driving around in my family's station wagon to look at lights, or listening to carols at my grandparents' house, or even on shopping trips. And maybe it's just me, but I find that even listening to Christmas ads on the radio is festive in its own right. How about you? Do you have any radio memories for Christmas? I'd love to hear about them. In fact, I'd like to hear any of your Christmas memories and share them with the rest of the Christmas Past family. This season, I'll be sharing your Christmas memories in special episodes dedicated just to them. All you have to do is record yourself speaking into your phone's voice memo app and send it to christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. Keep it reasonably short, clean, and family-friendly, and be sure to say your name and where you're from. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Ryan Earle. Thanks to Helix from the RPG Major podcast, who performed the voiceover as Fessenden. Check the show notes for links to more information about him. And thank you for listening. You can drop me a line anytime, whether it's to say hello, to share a Christmas memory, or to tell me how much you're enjoying my new book, available at fine booksellers everywhere. You can always reach me at christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. And look for Christmas Past on your favorite social media platform. If you don't see me there, and you think I should be, get in touch and let me know. And hey, if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover the show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a rating and review. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker and a handwritten Christmas card as my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.